The Oregon State Beavers are looking for their first win, and after the huge loss to Oregon Ducks in the Civil War, well, they're going to take on another undefeated team, and that is the Houston Cougars. Parker Ainsworth of Locked On Cougars is going to join me on today's episode, and we are going to discuss the game between Houston and Oregon State in Corvallis on Friday night. This one's going to be on ESPN, 7:30 Pacific time for you over in Oregon State to check it out. And Parker, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Pac-12 Daily. Tell me about these Houston Cougars who are now 3-0 under Willie Fritz.
3-0. I will say, though, you said 7:30 local time. That's 9:30 for those of us in Central time. That's a late kickoff, Christian.
Welcome to Pac-12 After Dark, Parker.
Yeah, it's very much after dark. The Houston Cougars are good. It is a good spot in the rebuild. We've got a great class of 2026 coming in. We have not lost sight of 3-0 to start 2025. It's an exciting time for the Cougs. Year two of the Willie Fritz, Merry Fritzmas, I should point out to folks that have been following that along. It's been going well, and Oregon State is the final non-conference game for Houston. So they're kind of looking to springboard that. I'm sure we're going to this matchup a whole lot, but it's an interesting part of Houston's schedule between two conference games, actually, which is odd to me. But I'm sure it's everything's odd for Oregon State right now, right?
Yeah, everything is odd for Oregon State, having a rough year so far, 0-4, not looking good, have had really some really boneheaded mistakes. Hopefully that can change against Houston for the sake of the Beaver's sake. But Houston looks really good. What I've seen so far from Houston this year, they're not just a 3-0 team. I think they're a team that can actually make some noise in the Big 12. Tell me about this team. What has changed from a team last year that wasn't as good? What changes for this Houston Cougars to show that they can potentially get the 4-0 after this week in Corvallis?
Well, they changed both coordinators in the offseason. One by their choice, one wasn't. Last 2 years, really, they have not had a passing offense. And they went out and got Slay Nagel, who was with Willie Fritz at Tulane. He stayed in Louisiana for a year after Willie Fritz came to Houston. Sounds like there may have been some family stuff, if I'm being honest. I think he also might have thought he had a shot at the Tulane job had he stayed. And in bringing in Nagel, they also bring in transfer quarterback Connor Wigman, who was a five-star, top three in his class kind of guy out of high school. Went to A&M, was going to turn that program around. Played through a couple injuries, and ultimately that did not work for him. He got replaced by Marcel Reed over the course of his time at A&M, and he transfers back home. He's from Houston. He's coming back home to Houston, and it's been a great start so far. He did take some warming up. The first half against Rice and stuff like that were a little shaky, but he's looking a lot smoother. He's running the ball pretty well. I think people knew he could do that before because that's not what they asked him to do at A&M a whole lot outside of quarterback dives. He's really he's been impressive to me as someone adjusting to his new role and new guys. Defense is still strong, but they also changed coordinators, and it looks a little bit different than last year. Defensive line to me is a big advantage for Houston in a lot of games they play. I love this kid, Carlos Allen. He's a future pro as I see it. He's maybe about 10 or 15 pounds too light, but he moves so well for an interior defensive lineman laterally that he just covered a lot of ground for a guy that does a lot more than just eat up blocks like you expect those guys to.
Let's talk a little bit more about these quarterbacks. Do a little tail of the tape here on these quarterbacks between Connor Wegman and Malik Murphy. 45 for 70 was Connor Wegman on the season so far. Four touchdowns for 569 yards. That's for what, about 62% completion rating. On the flip side, Malik Murphy, he's thrown a lot of passes because they've been down for so much. Thrown for almost 1,000 yards already in the four games they've played. Only has a 57 completion rating, six touchdowns, but have thrown five interceptions. Don't see a single interception next to Connor Wegman's name. What has he done to protect the football to make it seem like this guy is stepping up and getting himself back into being a quarterback that you expect him to be? That's something that didn't work maybe possibly at Texas A&M, but is doing great with Houston.
Well, he's honestly, for me, he did play an FCS school somewhere in there, and the Bayou Buck with Rice is a rivalry game, but it is Rice. Colorado's a little bit more real deal opponent. He played very well against them too, so I don't mean to say it's all for naught. I look at what Wigman's done though, and it feels a lot like he just bought into the Slade Nagel thing. They're going to run the ball a lot. When you think about what Nagel did at Tulane when Fritz was his head coach, they worked together there. it was the Tajay Spears show, right? Like it was when that thing was at its peak, they were beating USC and giving Ole Miss run for their money and doing all that by running Tajay Spears with some split zone kind of actions and really making the quarterback's job a lot easier. Wigman's job's really easy when his check down is 6'8" tight end Tanner Cogell, 6'8", 250, initially transferred to Wisconsin and wanted to catch more footballs than they were going to do. So he transferred again at the end of the spring to Houston to catch those footballs, as he saw Nagel do with his guys at Tulane. And he's leading the team in catches. He's really a great option to have that, you know, you don't feel like you got to force those interceptions downfield. You got this gigantic target right next to you a lot of the time. And that's how things worked out.
Your Houston defense has already got 5 interceptions on the season, including one that already went for a pick six. Will James, your sophomore defensive back. They've all been from defensive backs from a secondary. And we're talking Malik Murphy, who has thrown these interceptions so far. What has this defense shown to be turnover machines? Is it the pressure from your front defense that is getting pressure to the quarterbacks, or is it just some really elite plays from your corners? What makes this defense so good that it's going to maybe give some issues for the Beavers on Friday night?
Houston's got a really good front. And I think the front, I don't mean to say the back of the defense isn't great, but the front has caused some of those because of rush throws or off platform throws or whatever. Bluntly, as good as the secondary is now, they went through most of spring expecting it to look different. They had at the end of spring practice, one right before, one right after, and one like the day before the spring game. They had guys transfer to Miami, Florida State, and LSU out of that secondary. Those defenses are all pretty good, right? They thought they were going to have a top tier of the country back half the defense. They've still got some great guys back there, and statistically, like you mentioned, they're doing really well. But I think some of that is produced by a great pass rushing front. Latrevion McCutchen is kind of a hybrid-y. They call him the Jack, but he's really a Sam Rush linebacker that also drops the whole flat curl area. And then Eddie Walls, the FIU transfer on the side, was a tremendous pass rusher at FIU. He's been great this year. And then Pac-12 guy, Khalil LaFoe, LAU-FAU. I say that differently, I think, every time I say it, but he is a tremendous transfer in from Washington State. He's been really good for Houston and the defensive front. So I like those guys a lot. And I think that that's really been where the pressure has forced interceptions as much as those guys are making plays once the ball's in the air, right? You got to do that part too.
All right. So this is a tough game for Oregon State. There's no doubt about that. They could be finding themselves in a really bad situation when it's all said and done, because that would move them to 0-5 on the year. So to make that happen, of course, you got to get a win for the Houston Cougars. Last week, the Oregon Ducks came in and took care of business against the Beavers. And I thought, and I said it on the air here on the Pac-12 Daily, that maybe Oregon was going to look over Oregon State. Maybe they wouldn't at least cover because of the fact they had to play Penn State, which is the game on College Game Day this weekend. For you, for next week, Houston has to take on Texas Tech, who is arguably seen as the best team in the Big 12 right now, especially after what they did to Utah on Big Noon Saturday last weekend. Is there any way, or is there any concern that you have that Houston is going to look over Oregon State this week?
A little bit. Now, Houston had a bye week before this. If it were just a short week game, I'd feel even worse about it. But Houston had a bye week going into this. It's a Friday night game. It's standalone. And frankly, there's this, a rivalry going with Tech as the in-state, the other big public in-state school in the Big 12. There's a lot of factors into that. There's also a lot of Tech alumni live in Houston. Houston's got this deal, and I'll try and go quickly, but like as a major metropolitan area, Baylor, TCU, Tech, these schools that maybe aren't front, those guys end up as alumni working in the Houston area. And the Tech game or the Baylor game is like the one game a year they get to go to in their backyard, right? So there are a lot of animosities when those things happen in Houston or those games happen in Houston. So it's hard not to look to that. I do think, though, that the staff has been so good about being in the here and now and so good about being in the present, because there is so much great, so many great things coming in the future with those great recruiting classes in 2026 and stuff like that, that with a bye week and you have the action, you can convince your guys, you got an extra day. We have a whole extra day here for Tech. Like, let's focus on this one. I think that those things do sell. And then also, if we're being completely honest, I think there are a lot of guys that see this as a chance to do it on television. We mentioned this is 7:30 Pacific time. The whole point of playing on Friday night is to be like the live Friday Night Light kind of game. So I think that's a big part of it too. It's like, let's go ball out on TV.
I love it. FanDuel has currently the Houston Cougars as a 13.5 point favorite heading in to Wednesday morning here, over under at 47.5. Have a score prediction for Friday night's game, Parker?
Yeah, so Houston's broke 30 every game they played. I feel like they're going to be flirting with that again. I'm going to say 31-14. I think one of those scores is defensive. You mentioned Murphy throws the ball to the wrong team sometimes. And then I just feel like Houston's got some momentum. And once they get up and start running the ball, they got Dean Connors at one running back. They're going to bring back Jamarion Burnett as the other. He's the big bruiser of the two. Stacey Sneed's a little bit more scatty back there. They've got options. Wegman himself runs. I think that they're going to be able to run through this once they get a comfortable lead. I think Murphy's going to throw the ball to the wrong team once they get down. I think this is close for a while, and then it busts open in the late third, early fourth.
All right. It's going to be an exciting game. Again, you can find this one on Friday night. Should be a good one. Houston in Corvallis taking on Oregon State. If Oregon State loses this one, they go to 0-5. Trent Bray would be 5-12 in his collegiate career coaching the Oregon State Beavers. Can't tell me that hot seat isn't hot if that's the case. Parker, where can everyone find you and your work over at Locked On Cougs?
Locked On Cougs, daily podcast all about the Houston Cougars. Social media, I'm at Painsworth, Parker Ainsworth, Painsworth 512. On your social media outlets, talking all things Cougs as well. That's pretty much all I do on social media. It's all Houston all the time. I guess sometimes I dabble in Houston pro sports on Twitter. If you're annoyed by that, feel free to hit follow. But that's all my stuff, man.